ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I guess I'll put this question forth. As you bring your railing accusations against the government, which could be very legitimate and be very true, have you ever won anyone to Christ by doing that? Now, there's nothing wrong with talking about it with other Christians. I have no problem with that. I think we should be aware of what's going on in this country and in this world. And we need to understand the days we're living in. But we don't win people to Christ by that. When unsaved post things like, what in the world is going on? We can share with them Jesus. Well, this is what the Bible says is going on. Again, you could agree with me or disagree. This is something that's heavy on my heart. You know, I think that's why Paul didn't deal with the wicked government, trying to overthrow it. He preached Christ crucified because, again, as people change, so will society. I guess it's not just secular government, but it's humanity. Can we treat humanity that way? Can we respect people? Obviously, we don't agree with everything that people are doing, right? But can we at least respect them in terms of not putting them down so the door is closed for us to talk with them? Because I guarantee, I know it is with me, when someone starts coming against me, that wall goes up. You know, that's it, I'm done, right? Shouldn't be, but that's what happens. And with the unsaved, that's exactly right. And again, there's been a couple people that I've wanted to post things because of what they're involved in. And the Lord said, back off for right now. Back off. Don't do it. And I can't tell you how hard that was. I don't know why I'm struggling so much right now. I guess I see all the injustice that's going on. But the Lord said, back off for right now. Don't do it because you're not going to win this one. They've made up their mind. And so I have to back off. You see, we are to make an influence in our community, and not in a bad way, but in a good way. You know, Paul in Romans 12:18 said, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You know, try to live at peace with people. You know, you do your part. It doesn't mean that they're going to get along with you, but you do your best. You try to get along with people. Even though, you know, you may feel that it's not fair, you know, they did something to you. Hey, I guess the way I look at it is, hey, look at all I did against the Lord. Look at all my failures. And he loves me. Now, can you reach out and love others? Not easy, right? I mean, this is not something that the flesh wants to do. At least my flesh does. I don't know about yours. Mine does not want to do it. And it's a battle. I know it. But wow, that's what we are to do. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. That's our Christian duty. Not easy. And for, you know, Titus, it was tough where he was at because these guys were known for always fighting, especially against Rome. Now, as we get into Titus 3:3, it gives us another perspective of why we should obey authority, and he's going to be dealing with sinners, unbelievers, you know, where we came from, I guess. Look at verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So this is our former condition, as sinners, as unbelievers. And isn't it easy to forget where you came from? Yeah, it is. You know, what we did before we were saved. And so we start looking down upon people now. I would never do that. How evil are they? Oh, they're just horrible. And God goes, hey, Joe, you were there too. You were one of them. Don't you remember? Exactly. That's the reality. We're here just by the grace of God. And that's what Paul wants Titus to remind them of, their former conduct, their former condition as sinners, as unbelievers. And I think as we're aware of that, and we're aware of where we're at right now and our still our struggles, we could be very thankful to God what he's done in our lives, right? Amazing that he, you know, let's face it, how many projects do we start that we just go, forget it, this is too much work, and we throw it on the side? Back burner, right? I think God, you know, is pretty gracious and merciful. He doesn't put us on the back burner. He's always working in our lives. And I think once we realize that, what God is doing and has done in our lives so far, it causes us to have compassion, to have kindness to those who are lost, and really for believers that have gone astray. God transformed our lives. And we need to remember where we came from. Not dwell on the past, not live in the past, but remember. So we still have that compassion, that kindness towards the lost, remembering where we were at before we got saved and where they're at right now. You know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, he really lays it out nicely here. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. In other words, Paul's saying, this is where you were at. But now that God has come into your life, you're a new person. Remember where you came from. Have compassion on those who aren't saved. And really, when you think about it, the works of the flesh are all man's doing, not God's doing. And that flesh in our lives likes to resurrect itself and manifest itself. And whatever you feed the most is what's going to be manifested in your life. You feed the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will come. You feed the flesh, the works of the flesh will come. And we see that in our own lives, that we see the battles that we struggle with. You know, the thing that we brought to the table in regard to our salvation is sin. That's it. That's all we brought, all our sins. And it's not pretty. That was our problem. We were sinners separated from God. But listen to what Paul then says, okay? He's taken us from where we were and now where we're at. Look at verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Paul is speaking about our salvation through Christ. And yes, it's important to remember where we came from, but it's just as important to remember our present salvation in Christ, our present condition. Now, too often when people are giving their testimonies, they dwell so much on their past like it's some great thing. No, it was horrible. I was a sinner separated from God, and Jesus came into my life. And now you expound on what God has done in you, not on your past. You got to take them and show them your past, but don't dwell on it. Don't glorify it. You see, Jesus Christ, Almighty God, became flesh. And, you know, he's called God here because he is. The second person of the Holy Trinity. One God manifested in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And who's the initiator of our salvation? It's God. In these verses, we see that he saved us. We see his mercy, the Holy Spirit, he poured out on us through Jesus, his grace. He's the initiator. We are the receiver. It's not by works of righteousness. Now, when you think about all the religions of the world, they in a sense have a works-based righteousness or working your way into heaven. And Christianity is completely different. Christianity is not work-based. It's Christ-based. And he did the work, and we received the gift, free gift, by faith. And that's a hard concept for many people to understand and apply to their lives. You know, we think if we just read the Bible more, then God will love us more. If we do this or do that, God will love us more. And that's the wrong concept of God. He saved us when we were still wretched sinners. And he can't love us any more than he already does, and he can't love us any less than he does. And you know what? He can't leave us in the condition that we're in if we're in sin because he loves us. So he will chasten us to draw us back. That should bring great comfort to us. The love of God and the washing of regeneration. You know, the whole idea here is that we are washed as white as snow. Now, I don't know about you. I don't feel that way because I know my life. You know, I would not want God to say, okay, Joe, we're going to show a picture of your entire Christian life so far on the screen here for everyone to see. No, please don't do that. Please. Right? But when God sees me, he sees me as perfect because the blood of Christ has cleansed me from all my unrighteousness. It's still a work in progress where God is still working with me. It's a sanctification process. It's lifelong until we go to be with him. But all my sins have been paid in full. My past sins, my present sins, and my future sins. You know, in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we're told that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, isn't that interesting? Unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. I've heard people say, oh, that born again stuff, it's not in the Bible. It's right there. In fact, Nicodemus wasn't too sure what this was all about, born again. And Jesus tells him, look, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. You see, we need to be born again. What does that mean? When Adam sinned, he passed that sin nature on to all of us. And so our spirit is dead. It's not alive. We're controlled by our bodily appetites, the flesh. And if you could watch animals, they're controlled by their bodily appetites. Look at man apart from God today. What are they controlled by? Their bodily appetites. Look at the things that they do. It's all about their flesh. But Jesus says you must be born again. What's he saying? Your spirit needs to be born again. That's what happens when we come to Christ. We're no longer controlled by the bodily appetites, but by the Spirit of God. Paul in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 9, put it like this. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in all kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What an amazing thing that God has done. I mean, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in all kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. What's he saying? He's saying, wow, you guys were really, really bad. And look at the grace of God. He saved you. He saved me. See, when we understand, and I don't think we fully understand the holiness of God, but I think as we spend time with him and we spend time in his word, we start to see more clearly how pure and holy he is. And then we look at our own lives and go, oh my gosh. You know, when I first got saved, I thought I was a sinner. I knew I was a sinner, but I didn't think I was that bad. Now, some 35 years down the road, oh my gosh, I see myself compared to a holy and righteous God. And I mean, the angels are blown away. Joe got saved? Are you kidding me? Really, God? You are amazing. You have so much grace and mercy. Yeah. And after we're saved, after the washing of regeneration, it's really the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And again, that's the sanctification process where God is working in our lives, transforming us into the image of Christ. You know, Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:18 said, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Wow, I got a long way to go. I think I'm going to need to live at least 500 years, probably more, before I get any closer to his image. But you know what happens when this body goes back to the dust of the earth and I go to be with the Lord? The Lord takes care of it. In fact, Paul in Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me." Wow. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I'm so thankful for that. You know, today, what we want to do is hold on to our past. Well, you know, I'm a child of alcoholic parents. My wife was dealing with someone years ago back in Chicago. She wouldn't let that go. That was her title. I mean, I don't even remember her name, but I remember she was an adult child of parents who were alcoholics. And my wife tried to explain to her, "But you're a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all the things have become new." Why are you holding on to the past? Live the new life in Christ. And she was really miserable in it. That's why I can't imagine. Why are you holding on to that? Yeah, we all had things in our past that probably are troubling, some more than others. But you're a new creation in Christ. Wow, thank you, Lord. Right? Remember in John chapter 13 where Jesus washed the disciples' feet and, you know, Peter said, "Lord, you're not washing my feet." Because the servant who washed the feet of the people who were coming into a home, it was the lowest job you could have. And they all gathered together, right? But no one was washing their feet. And Jesus thought, well, you know what? Takes the cloth, gets a bowl of water, and he starts washing their feet. Peter goes, "No way, man. There is no way you're washing my feet, Lord." And the Lord told Peter, unless he allowed this, he couldn't be part of them. And Peter said, "Well, give me a bath then. Just pour the bowl over my head, man. I'll take it all." You know, Peter, he's one way or another. He's just all, it's kind of probably like me. I probably relate to Peter a lot. I wish I could relate to David more, but no, I'm probably more like Peter. And the Lord tells Peter, "Look, Peter, you don't need a bath, okay? You've had the washing of regeneration. In a sense, you're saved. You don't need to get saved again." Now, I think this was an example. I don't believe that they're saved here in John chapter 13. I don't believe that they get saved until obviously after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in John chapter 20, when Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I think that's where they get saved. That's when they become New Testament saints, I guess I should say. Saved in the sense here in John 13 as Old Testament saints, okay? But their sins could never be taken away until Jesus died on the cross. So the Christian life really consists of one bath salvation and then lots and lots of foot washings. And I think that relates to our fellowship. And we out in the world, we have, you know, sandals on our feet. It's what if we're walking on a dirty road? That's all there was, right? Back in Jesus' day, there was dirt roads. You walked on them, your feet got very, very dirty. So you needed to cleanse them. And what Jesus' point is this. When we go out into this world, the dirt of the world is going to come upon our lives. And you need to wash your feet. You're already saved. You need to wash your feet. In other words, you need to be in the Word and let the Word cleanse you. I think it's really, really important. The world's a tough place today. We are being bombarded by so much garbage. Some of it even comes from the church where, you know, they want us to compromise and compromise and compromise what we believe. And we need to always go back, okay, this is what God has said. Now, I've heard people say, oh, you know, God's word needs to be updated today. You know, it's a different period of time. I've heard people say, well, you know, not all of it's inspired. Well, here's the problem I have with it, and it's a huge one. If we can't trust Genesis to Revelation as being the inspired word of God, then God is worthless. Well, how can you say that? Because in the Psalms, it says that God holds his word above his name. Now, that may not mean a lot to us today, but the name of a person was the totality of who he is, right? So God says, my word I hold above my name. So if his word is worthless, then his name is worthless. And we can't. Why do we even worship him? Do you see how important that is? When people try to cut parts of the Bible out or discredit parts of the Bible, my question is, then your God's in trouble because he's worthless. But my God isn't, because I believe Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I believe the end of the book of Revelation and everything in between. God holds his word above his name. His name is the totality of who he is. I believe everything about him. Call me a fanatic, that's fine. I don't care. I mean, what are you going to hold on to? If you can't trust God's word, we're in serious trouble. Because how do you know what to believe? Well, I just feel. Yeah, great. I really felt 2020 would be an awesome year. Not so far, but, you know, hey, I shouldn't say that, because really God is working through all this chaos and mess. I've seen the things that he's doing. Do you realize the number of churches now that are live streaming because of the stay-at-home orders? They never did before. And now they're live streaming. I like that. The first Thursday we had service. I've never seen you guys so happy in all my life. I mean, you're hugging, you're just excited to see people. Yeah, fellowship is so important. We miss that. You know, there are things that God is doing. Some people are wondering, what in the world is going on? Right? Opportunities to share our faith. So I think that's important, you know. And it's really God's grace, his mercy. You know, mercy is essentially not getting what we deserve. We deserve death. We're sinners. We deserve death. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve heaven. You know, I can't imagine when I come before the Lord, I can't imagine how long I'll be on my face before him. I don't know. You know, you think of, oh, yeah, I just want to walk around and talk. I'm thinking, man, when I see him standing there and I see the nail prints in his hand and I see the bruise in his side and I see his battered face, because he still bears the marks of the crucifixion, I'm going to be on my face. Lord, you did this for me. I don't deserve it. That's what grace is all about. You don't deserve it. I'm giving it to you because I love you. Wow. Wow, that's pretty amazing. You know, I'll give you this little story about the Napoleon. wars in Europe. And there was a mother who approached Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. And the emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice. Because of that, justice demanded that he be put to death. And she said, "But I don't ask for justice. I plead for mercy." "But your son doesn't deserve mercy," Napoleon said. "Sir," the woman cried, "it would not be mercy if he deserved it, and mercy is all I ask for." "Well, then," the emperor said, "I will have mercy," and he spared the woman's son. And that's what mercy is about, not getting what we deserve. He deserved to be put to death. He showed mercy towards him.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.